Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olifier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Welcome back to Divine Intervention, and for the second week in a row, we are trying what some South Africans would call a champagne, but the gentleman sitting next to me tells me, we must not, it's Cup Classique. It's a bubbly, it's from the Cape, it's very similar to champagne, and probably much better value, and much better at that. But before I introduce the wine, let me introduce our studio guests. Here in Joburg, with me, the gentleman I was alluding to is the group sommelier from Sogo Sun, the hotel chain, Miguel Cha.
Thank you, John, for having me tonight.
Well, it's great to have you here, Miguel, and it's great to have someone else to open all the bottles so efficiently. I don't know, but before I continue, have you ever found a problem that champagne corks are supposed to pop out,
yeah. But
sometimes you cannot get the bloody things out?
Oh, it could be your hand were wet before you open the bottle, eh? So, just pull it.
Just pull it. Well, I've got something called a champagne star, you know that?
No. It's a little... Just use a knife and then knock the bottle out.
I have actually once used a corkscrew to get a champagne cork out of a bottle.
Don't you have a sword, John?
Don't I have a sword? No, I don't. I'm a modern sort of chap, not a medieval twit like that Frenchhook idiot who keeps attacking bottles with swords. But before I get myself into severe libel suit, let me introduce our second Joburg studio guest, Jerry Sampson, branding expert. I was about to say octogenarian, but you've only gone through your 70th birthday, Jeremy. Great to chat to you again.
John, thank you. I'm glad this is a private conversation.
Well, apart from the several million who tune into our podcasts, yes, it is. And, of course, once again, I was about to call him Old Faithful, but he'd kill me for that. A faithful friend, my partner in wine, food and wine guru, eat out's lifetime achiever, Michael Olifier. Michael, great to chat to you again, and thanks for joining us again on Divine Intervention.
Thank you, John. Such a pleasure being with you again.
Okay, well, I will sit back and behave a bit while you introduce or tell us about this wine. I'll just tell our listeners what it is. It's a J.C. Leroux Méthode Cap Classique Scintilla Vintage 2003.
Well, don't start behaving yourself. It would be so unusual. This is the Scintilla. This is the Scintilla. It's really the flagship MCC of J.C. Leroux, made by Elunda Besson, and she's got about 75% Chardonnay in this wine, 25% Pinot Noir, and in fact, it won in the Old Mutual Trophy Wine Awards, the trophy for the best sparkling wine, which I think certainly says something. It's had a gold on Veritas. I really, really enjoy this wine. I think they've got the grapes from the right place. They've got certainly got the technology to produce it, and you've got this opulent, smooth, beautifully balanced wine with the sort of delicate flavors, and that just that rush of bubbles coming up to the top of the glass, and you've got all those sort of biscuity, brioche, bready flavors in amongst all the wonderful fruit in this wine. I think it's a great glass.
You mentioned biscuity brioche. It's very dry. It's not sweet at all. And I have to say there are some South African bubblies which are cheap and cheerful. Not everybody can afford to buy an expensive bottle of wine. I was served one recently and didn't really enjoy it. But this, I have to say, is a great credit to J.C. Leroux. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. But as usual, what do I know? Miguel, you're the expert. I have to just preface this by reminding people who may not have caught our chat last week,
yeah.
Miguel convenes a bubbly championship.
Well, if one look at what you've just poured for us here, John, is where in the world would you get a 10-year-old bottle fermented sparkling wine at under 200 Rand or under 15 euro a bottle? That's the first thing that the consumer needs to realize is this, the exceptional value that one gets. It has lovely maturity, it has lovely layers of complexity. It is a food wine, and it's very well made, and it's what more would one ask for? Yes, fair enough. There is a sort of a stigma in the consumer's mind about J.C. Le Roux, but one needs to see it that they make sparkling wine and they make MCCs, two different products. One is carbonated, one is bottle fermented. Nevertheless, across the range, it offers a quality for different pockets as well. So,
Jeremy Sampson, a chap who's obviously living a meager existence on his pension at a ripe old age. Good value, isn't it?
John, I want to pick up what Miguel said, because J.C. Le Roux to me is cheap and cheerful. And here I'm looking at a bottle which is, to start with, a beautiful bottle. It's got a dark glass, it's got an embossed coat of arms on the front, and it's 10 years old, and it's absolutely scrumptious, absolutely scrumptious. And, you know, when you look, I think at the moment the rand to the pound is over 16. So this is under £10. And it was about a year ago that I was doing some research. I use the word research in inverted commas, going around wine stores in the UK, seeing the price points in places like Asda, which is Walmart. And for under £10, there were some amazing things, but J.C. Le Roux would fit in there. But it also raises the point about vintage champagne, because I don't pretend to understand the vintages, and this is your area, Miguel and Michael. But 2003, I didn't realize we were doing vintage MCC in those days.
Oh yes, it was happening, and 2003 was an exceptional vintage, if I'm not mistaken, Michael. It's the year I arrived in South Africa, but Michael will have a better idea of the 2003 vintage.
Year I was born. Jeremy, you're the branding expert. You mentioned that the image of J.C. Le Roux is based on very affordable, maybe people who don't have a massive budget but want something sparkling, cheap and cheerful. Nothing wrong with that. Now for the first time, I've realized they are producing something that is up there with the best. How do you, as a brand, get away from the fact that you're perceived as the Coca-Cola, but in fact you're producing Clippies and Coke as well?
Well, as I said, this is a shock. Looking to the bottle, you know, the label is deckled edge, lots of gold, lots of embossing. This smoky sort of brown glass is gorgeous. And they're using all the tricks, I guess, of what you use when you move into the area of luxury brands. And I think that's a whole different debate. But they do have a problem, I think, at the bottom end of the market, as you say, the cheap and cheerful. But it's interesting that they can actually span such a wide range. So they're actually selling product, now correct me here please, Michael, from about 50 rand up to 200 rand. And that's the range.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Michael, your thoughts on that? Because obviously there are producers who are known for one thing, who are trying to do something else. We tasted, as you'll remember, recently the Lanzerac Rosé, and of course there was for a while the cheap and cheerful Lanzerac range, and then the premium range made on the estate, which has that lovely old hotel that I know you once used to manage. It can be a challenge, can't it? Because people might see a label and might get a very wrong impression of what's in the bottle.
Yeah, I think that J.C. Le Roux are a sort of prime example of they're producing semi-sweet carbonated bubblies right up to a Rolls Royce of a wine like this. I think that there's horses for courses. I don't believe that there are any winemakers in South Africa that aren't putting their damn best into the bottle. And there are very few wines that are not drinkable at a number of price levels.
And Miguel, if somebody wants a special occasion wine, to what extent are you drawn towards taking them down the traditional path for a meal, the nice white with fish and the nice red with Chateaubriand? Are you ever brave enough to say to someone, well, you might actually like a sparkling wine with your meal?
Absolutely. It's a rule has been broken many, many years ago. And first is what I always seek with the diners is first, what are their budget, what are their tastes, and what they are eating. These are the three criteria I look for. And from there on, I always take them. First choice has always been a bubbly. Second choice has always been a Riesling in terms of a white wine. And if it has to be a red, it will always be a Pinot Noir as a red. These are the first three that I will try to sell first before moving on to fuller varieties or other style of wine.
Well, we are very close to the end of 2013. It's been a mixture for some of us, but 2014 can't be much worse. We will go into New Year's Eve. Miguel, what's your advice for somebody who's going to be celebrating, say, from 7 in the evening till 2 in the morning? Is it best to start and end with bubbly and be consistent, or can you be a bit more varied in what you're drinking through the evening?
Be varied what one is drinking. Of course, a lot of bubbly is always welcome. But check the alcohol level. If you have the right alcohol level, friendly wines, you can drink a lot. But if when you start drinking those super bombs at 14 plus, trust me, after two glasses, the party's ruined.
Well, Michael, I'm afraid most New Year's Eves, I sort of wake up on the sofa at 2 in the morning on January the 1st and wonder what went wrong. What's your advice?
Well, I think Miguel's right. You've got to watch the alcohol levels. But I think if you sip away happily at an MCC, you know, it'll go with most food that you would think of serving. And maybe pop in a bottle of nice cold white there, but certainly have a bottle of bubbly waiting for you at midnight.
Jeremy, do you wait till midnight for your New Year's Eve bubbly?
Well, I think it depends if on the first I'm starting off with bacon and eggs and a nice glass of MCC as well. Because I think, as we're saying, it's about the alcoholic levels, it's about pacing yourself, your food intake as well. You know, are you sitting out in the sun, which is going to blast you as well? But and I think what we're saying is sensible drinking allows you to drink all day and all night if you want to.
That sounds extremely sensible to me. Well, we're almost at the end of this podcast, but before I go, just a final thought from Miguel Chen. When you arrive in a restaurant and you ask for a glass of bubbly, how confident should you be that it is going to still be bubbly and be nice and cold and enjoyable?
Well, it's all about the operators. If they propose and if they have a glass of bubbly available on the wine list, they have to ensure that prior to any service that the bottle is in top conditions before the first glass get poured. As simple as that. It's not just a matter of suggesting that they have a glass of bubbly when it arrives like a Frizzante or a Perle wine. Then there is certainly problems.
Michael Olivier, you having run restaurants to great acclaim in the past, what's your advice? I seem to remember when I used to come to Parks for two of us, you would offer a half bottle, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We used to have the Valera tradition in a half bottle, and then we had a couple of the J.C. LaRue 250 milliliters as well.
And for somebody who walks blind into a restaurant they've never been to before, what should they expect and what can go wrong?
Well, I think you've got to be careful of the restaurant that you're choosing. If you're choosing a sort of mom and pop steakhouse down the road, you're not going to get a bottle of wine perhaps that's been as well looked after as you might expect. And what can go wrong? Maybe it's not cold enough.
Jeremy Sampson, your thoughts? Presumably you've drunk the odd glass of bubbly in your time.
Well, this is where I think, you know, if in doubt, drink it quickly and drink a recent vintage. That's where looking at this J.C. LaRue 2003, for 10 years, this has been loved and nurtured and looked after. And I know that the whole secret of keeping wine is keeping it in a low temperature and a consistent temperature and hopefully in a slightly darkened south-facing room. And that's where I think there are a lot of people who sometimes bring wine to the table that has got a certain age to it and it's past its sell-by date, which is incredibly sad.
And of course, Miguel, one of my secrets is, if in doubt, go for a Kia, a sparkling wine mixed with a berry liqueur. Yeah. That can hide a lot of sins in a slightly dodgy sparkling
and
wine.
The colder it's served, the more it hides the defects.
Well, some very useful advice indeed. Not that any of the Sogo Sun hotels would ever have a defect in any of their wines.
They all get screened.
Many thanks once again to our studio guests. Fourth time in a row. We will give them a few weeks off before we get them back. But it's always a delight and a treat to have with us Jeremy Sampson, branding expert, branding guru, and of course, wine writer. That's one of your hobbies. Jeremy, great to chat to you again.
Thank you, John. And may I wish you a happy Christmas and all the best to your listeners as well.
I'm sure that if they're listening to this, they're already happy and people of great taste. Miguel Chan.
Thank you, John. Always fun to be with you here, and very best wishes for the festive season. Happy Christmas and Happy New Year, and all the best to the listeners as well. Yeah.
Well, I'll take a few dregs of this, and this should get me through New Year's Eve. And last but certainly not least, to our food and wine guru down in the Cape, Michael Olivier. Michael, once again, thank you very much indeed for your wisdom and your ability to communicate to ordinary blokes like me the wonders of the Winelands.
Oh, John, such a pleasure. Hopefully we'll be doing this again before Christmas. Take care.
I'm sure we will. And a final word of thanks to our engineer, Malcolm McDonald, without whom none of this would have been possible. From me, John Fraser, once again, you've been listening to Divine Intervention. Join us again next week.